The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. Austin, Texas.
Alrighty. I don't know if that's a thing, but
people do that.
Yeah, I don't even actually know if it works for this scenario. I've never done it before.
I don't know. You've never clapped before?
Never. Not once in my life.
Damn. You gotta try it. It's pretty cool.
I clap my ass, not my hands, though.
Doing the clap, getting the clap. It's all good.
Getting the clap. I was waiting for it. I was fucking waiting for it. Anyways, on that note, talking about getting the clap. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Unhinged with Chris Clemens. Today, I am honored, ecstatic, maybe even a little horny to be with one of my longest internet friends turned comedians. Whoa. Like, it's kind of cringy, especially when I think about the press play photos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just all bad.
Yeah. Cut that out. You don't have to talk about that.
Yeah. Justin, bleep that. Now, before we get into the episode, I just want to say, if you have not, be sure to subscribe to Unhinged with Chris Clemens wherever you get your podcasts. We have video episodes up on youtube.com/@unhinged, I think. And rate and review. I fucking hate starting out podcasts like this. Is it even relevant anymore?
No, I love the energy. I love it.
Now, like I said, we have Curtis Connor here. How you doing?
Good. Very good. Thanks for having me. This is great. This is a great time.
Thanks for coming on. I remember when I went on your podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Was that during COVID?
I believe so. Yeah. That was like when Zoom was like, what the? Zoom podcasts were like all the rage.
Yeah, and like ever since, I just refuse to ever have a guest on here via Zoom and like recorded via Zoom. Like it's just I'm done. It's like a physical hoo.
Yeah, it's this. The two screens is kind of jarring. Like the two side by side landscape view, it's pretty jarring.
No, and like the 4x4 pixel ratio is just insane.
Yeah,
it's brutal. Now, what are you up to, baby?
Not much. What did I do today? I had someone come over to my house today for a closet, to renovate a closet. And, the last 2 days have been kind of chill. I haven't done too much. I kind of went beast mode on my last video and, kind of pumped it out in like 2 days. So I was like, I gotta chill. And I'm going out of town tomorrow to visit family. So I was like, I'm taking a couple chill days.
So your house will be empty and I'm going to rob you. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Now, if you guys don't know, Curtis, I don't even understand how you maintain your YouTube channel.
Me neither.
Because you make like video essays. Like, I don't know if that's what you call them, but like to me as a consumer, I've never even put that much energy into like writing a college paper that decided my future, like let alone just like a video to get through the week.
Yeah.
Do you write scripts?
Yeah, big time. That's like the bulk of the process is like the researching and scripting. It's like that's takes most of the time because also like I'm like a bad worker, you know? So it's like I take like a real long time. I go through the script like 5 times to make sure it's all like cohesive and try to add jokes in wherever I can. So it's a lot of work. It's really a lot of work.
Wow. Yeah, no, like you are the type of creator who honestly makes me feel so inferior because I'm like, I want to so badly like dissect like the fucking, I don't even know. Like I try for like 5 minutes and I'm like, not for me. I'm going to go make 5 cocktails and get hammered in my kitchen.
That's honestly, dude, I feel like a lot of the times when I see like your content or people that's just like do content that is sort of just like off the cuff, sometimes I feel really jealous as well. So, I mean, the grass is always greener.
I was literally just saying this to a friend about she has like a normal day job. And I was like, God, I would just kill for someone to tell me what to do. And then I was like, the grass will always be greener at every job.
Literally. Yeah.
However, my lawn is fucking dead. Like, it is yellow and ready to be burnt.
Yeah, I do understand that, though. It's, you know, you get stuck doing this thing that you do and you're like, well, I imagine it's so much better somewhere else. But, you know, I think you should take pride in what you do. And I think you're very good at it. So
thank you. Oh, my God. Likewise. Yeah, let's just.
Sesh.
I'm into it. Listen,
did you ever jerk? Were you ever in a jerking crew? Was that ever like the dance move?
Oh,
not like a off crew.
I definitely off like 2 hours ago. If that's what you're asking, yes, Your Honor. Is there a stain on my shirt? Is it that obvious?
On your shirt? That'd be crazy.
No, that would be crazy.
That'd be disgusting.
Oh my God, the new middle kid collection, the collection. Gross. Alrighty. Now, you do a lot of stand up.
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
You have a new special out called Keep Busy.
Oh yeah, I do.
How much of, like, as a budding stand-up comedian, how much of your show is, like, written out already, and how much of it is, like, off the cuff? This to me, and you don't have to reveal if you don't want to, like, keep the magic alive, but...
No, I love talking shop.
I always am so curious because I cannot go up on stage without, like, a fully fleshed out set.
For sure. Yeah, I feel the same. I think I think it's similar to my videos where it's like not probably like 95% scripted, and then 5% I leave a little room to, you know, get silly.
Yeah.
Have some fun between the jokes, but for the most part it is definitely scripted, because if I had to go up without any material, I think I'd burn the theater down. I think I'd burn the venue down before even doing any material. I just have to, or I'd lie and say like, my dad is dead. I gotta go. You know, I'd have to like make up an excuse.
No, for sure. Mm-hmm. If people weren't like paying money to come, I so badly just want to give it a shot of just like going up on stage with fucking nothing.
Right.
I just don't have that, like, no, I've already clocked my IQ level, but yeah.
Some people are, yeah, I don't know how some comedians are like so like strong with that, and they're just like, they like thrive off of it. And you know, sometimes you bomb even with written material, which feels worse, but I feel like maybe there's that where it's like, oh, if you go up, you don't have any material and you bomb, people are like, oh, okay, that's, he still went up there and fucking did the thing.
He gave it his all.
Yeah. Yeah. He did his best, you know? Yeah. But I could never, there was one time in college where we did that, where, cause I went to fucking comedy college. I went to fucking basically clown school.
You did?
Yeah. There's a 2-year program in Toronto for like comedy writing and performance.
Every piece of information I hear about Toronto, I am more and more convinced that it is not a real place.
It's really not.
Even beyond the fact that I've been there multiple times.
No, you haven't. It's a lie.
There's a comedy college? That's insane.
Well, I mean, it's a college. It's Humber College, but there's a course. It's a 2-year course. And everybody in the program is insane.
I'm like obsessed with this. Like, I thought going to photo school for college was crazy. Like,
oh, dude.
Oh, the characters you must have met.
Dude, nobody showered. Everybody was loud as hell all the time. And then most of it was just like white kids just saying the N-word.
Oh, amazing.
Because they thought it was like funny. Dude, it was fucking crazy. I mean, you know. I'm glad I went. It got me to Toronto. It got me into the scene, you know, it like forced me to do a lot of shows, but
at what expense?
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, one time in college we did this thing where we had like all these topics written out on sheets, and then someone would go up, and this is to like maybe 7 of our friends, just like at a house, like at someone's house. And they'd like, we'd put up like a topic, and then you'd have to like do like an on the spot routine. And just to like test out our like improv skills and our like stand up, you know, our fucking quickness. And I hated it. I hated it. It's not fun.
I love like off the cuff shit like that. I don't love doing off the cuff shit like that in that kind of a setting.
Live? Yeah, that's terrifying.
Well, no, just like in front of other people who aren't as funny as me. like that's so uncomfortable because you have to be like, yeah, that, yeah.
It is tough. I guess it's easier if you're actually in like a packed like club or something. Because if it's just like in a living room with like six of your buddies, it's like, oh my God.
No, I don't know if you have this, but like some of my friends are like, let me hear some of your stuff. And I'm like, I will actually shoot you like point blank.
Yeah, I'd actually prefer to never talk to you ever again. I'll do that before I do that.
Literally. Like my family, I did a show in Philly and it's like 45 minutes away from my house. And like everyone I've ever known was there.
Nice.
And they're like, can we get a preview? And I was like, you can drop dead right in front of me.
It's like if like your friend was like an Olympic swimmer and then you just filled up your bathtub and you're like, come on, show me.
Come on, little Shamu, flop around.
Show me, get in there. Show me how you swim.
Put on that sexy Speedo.
Yeah, do a big dive into my bathtub. Break your fucking neck, dude. I want to see you die.
Okay, this is the last question I'm going to ask that's like a 60-minute interview, and then we'll actually get into the podcast episode. But do you feel, and these questions are literally just for me because I feel so lost, but do you like feel this pressure that you have to be funny all the time or else people will think you're not funny?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
I have so much fun with this podcast, but then I have so much trouble with this podcast because I'm like, this isn't funny. This isn't entertaining. Like, I should, you know?
Yeah. I think, especially with solo podcasts, which, you know, you and I have and several other creators have, but it's pretty tough to like keep it funny the entire time. I don't think it's possible.
I really don't either.
And also, I feel like there's a lot of pressure to be talking the entire time, which is frustrating because I'll get a lot of comments on my shit being like on my podcast, like, Curtis didn't talk for a second. I thought the video stopped. And it's like, how do I talk for 45 minutes straight?
You really thought the episode just ended in the middle of a sentence? Okay, yeah, Sarah, yeah. Beth, work.
Yeah, I got to talk the whole time, take no breaths. I'm just fucking beat red by the end of it, trying to get the words out because I have no oxygen in.
No, I literally look like an SVU victim by the end of podcast episodes. Like when I'm like looking at for like thumbnails and I'm like, that's what I looked like this entire time.
Yeah, it's hard out here, but you know, we are. That's what they say, man. We know what Joe Rogan said. Comedians were the last line of defense, man.
Is that what Joe Rogan said?
That's a real thing he said.
I mean, I didn't not believe it based off of the other countless shit that I've heard.
Yeah, that's what Papa Rogan said.
Wow, that's... And on that note, I immediately feel so good about the job that I am doing. Thank you. Now, some of our unhinged citizens have sent in some emails based off of last week's episode prompt where I asked you guys for your best or worst celebrity encounters because we ranked Nepo babies.
Oh, shit.
Now, before we get into some of your guys' responses, you have homework for next episode, and it's to send an email to unhingedwithchrisclemens@gmail.com with something you have learned at your job that the public would be horrified to know.
Ooh, that's a good prompt.
I've worked a lot of jobs and I've seen some shit and I've also done some shit. And I want to know. One adjective about me is I am nosy. Thank you. So like I said, this week we're answering last week's prompt, which is best or worst celebrity encounters. And we really do have some good ones. And I didn't tell people that I was doing an episode with you. And one of the first emails I got was subject lined celeb encounter, Curtis Connor, ?
No shot.
Dead ass.
Oh, no.
Dead ass. I near, like, this is the shit that gets me like hyped. I'm like, the people didn't even know.
What did I do?
Okay. You ready?
I guess.
So not necessarily best or worst, but my most random celeb encounter was with Curtis Connor in the prime Vine days.
Oh, no.
It was 2014, and I was at Terminal 5 in New York City seeing the 1975. Extremely 2014. The show was ending, and my friend and I were making our way through the crowd when I dropped something, and as I stood up, me and Curtis made eye contact. They spelled your name wrong in there with a C. In that very moment, I almost simultaneously shit myself and threw up.
Jesus.
And this is the part that I'm so sorry about.
Okay.
Thinking he was Harry Styles. Please look up a reference photo of Curtis in 2014. It's integral to the story that you see him. He was known for looking like Harry. Guys, have some fucking respect. He's a person as well.
Yeah. Guys.
Anyways, I quickly realized it was not Harry, but another celebrity, Curtis.
Oh.
He could see the panic and confusion on my face slowly turn to recognition and realization. However, I said nothing and walked away. LMAO, sorry for nothing. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed reading. Was the concert good?
It was great. Yeah, they played. They did a great job. I love the concert. I was there. I can confirm that.
Do you remember this interaction?
I don't remember anybody shitting their pants or puking, unfortunately. I definitely would have remembered that.
No, you did. It was just me.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. That was you.
Yeah, it wasn't a stranger.
Yeah. No, I don't remember this. Because I guess she didn't really say, or they didn't really say anything to me. They just kind of saw me and thought it was someone else and then left. So, I mean, like.
Yeah, no, I mean, I figured you didn't remember, but.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping for like some little full circle moment.
Unfortunately not, no.
Bummer.
But I mean, I was worried that I was like rude to someone or something. Like I was like a dick.
That's always like worst case scenario, but can't win them all.
Facts.
Next up, we have an email that was subject lined, Kelsey Ballerini's dog shit on my foot. An instant smash for me.
Who's Kelsey Ballerini?
Okay, I was going to be like, what? But I like literally only know her name. I think she's like a country singer. Hold up. Who is Kelsey Ballerini dating? No, who is she to begin with? Kelsey Nicole Ballerini is an American country pop singer and songwriter.
Oh.
Oh, she began songwriting as a child. Come on, child labor. Now, the email says as follows. When I was 13, I went to visit my grandma down in Tennessee for spring break. We decided to go to one of her friends' houses for the day because she had a pool and she was a dog sitter, so she always had a shit ton of dogs running around. Unbeknownst to me, she was taking care of Kelsey Ballerini's dog. How do you know that? Like, yeah. Oh my God, are you fucking Kelsey Ballerini's dog?
Can I get a picture?
Can you shit on my foot? Unbeknownst to me, she was taking care of Kelsey Ballerini's dog, and while I was there, she decided to come and pick her dog up. I was a huge fan of her at the time, and while I was saying hi to her, her dog decided to hunch over and take a big fat shit on my bare foot. I had just been in the pool, so I had no shoes on. I was mortified, and she kept apologizing, and that wasn't very helpful considering the dog had the biggest grin on its face.
Sick freak.
I don't think I would be mortified. I'd be like so fucking annoyed.
Yeah, that would be embarrassing. I'm trying to think. Okay, the thing I'm confused by is like dogs, they do like a thing before they shit. Like you can tell that they're going to shit.
Okay. I didn't want to be a cynical bitch, but that's what I was like. Sometimes I read these emails and I'm like, so which of y'all are like telling the truth and which of y'all are enrolled in a creative writing class?
Yeah.
Because this shit is so annoying.
You're capping. You're capping about the crap. Capping about the crapping.
Seriously, stop capping. The capping is out of control.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe she was like caught up in the moment and noticed a literal dog.
Maybe it had like IBS. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it just kind of shot out of its butthole.
That's a little too soon. That was happening with my dog.
Oh no. Okay, sorry.
Moving on. Next up, this email was just short and sweet, subject titled Kris Jenner.
I shit on Christina Ballerini's dog.
I ate Kelsey Ballerini's dog after it shat on my foot. As soon as I had seen your episode about celebrity encounters, I had to spill the tea. I work for a doctor's office that you may or may not have seen Kris Jenner get a hip replacement done at. Should I have seen Kris Jenner getting a hip replacement?
You probably saw that.
I don't know. You probably know that little incident of Kris Jenner getting a hip replacement.
Jesus.
No, I don't actually think I was there, but thank you for the encouragement or the belief that I was.
Yeah.
She came into her office to get a PRP injection, and I was the medical assistant to draw her blood for that injection. Before I went into the room to draw her blood, I got all the supplies I needed to do everything in her room since we try to keep a low profile when celebrities come here. Mind you, she comes in with about 3 6-foot-tall security guards that are scary, but I'd climb with no hesitation on a Tuesday night.
Okay, specific.
No, the scene is set. One of them was the one letting people in and out of her room. He literally said to me, "What's in your hand?" And I said, "A needle, a tourniquet, and a Band-Aid." First of all, can you imagine having to draw Kris Jenner's blood? And second of all, can you imagine to have to explain to her security that you're just bringing in a fucking needle?
Yeah, what the fuck is that for?
I don't know. We're in a doctor's office.
Yeah, do you know where you are?
Oh, I love it. He literally asked me what my reason for going in the room was, and I said to draw blood for the injection as I looked at him confused. He patted me down and asked more questions and then said, "No, you can't go in." Mind you, it was past 5 p.m., so I was the only one there. After telling the doctor the security won't let me in, he asked Kris for her permission, and she agreed to have me in the room and apologize for her security. He then stepped into the room while I was drawing her blood, and he was hovering so much over that I had to tell him to step back as he was not letting me focus. Kris then yelled, "Can you back the hell up so she can do her job?"
Damn.
Long story short, I guess she felt bad that they gave me a hard time and told my doctor to give me a stipend for being here after hours. Above all, putting the money aside, she was such a sweetheart and even gave me a hug once I was done with her injection.
Wow.
Wow, you are putting the hip in HIPAA violation. Are you allowed to be saying this?
I guess maybe they were remaining anonymous, I suppose. But
except the fact that I have her name in my email.
Get doxxed. Just kidding.
What constitutes a HIPAA violation? A HIPAA violation refers to the failure to comply with HIPAA rules, which can include unauthorized access, use, or disclosure of protected health information. Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh. Oh, those 6-foot men that you would climb like a tree on a Tuesday night are gonna come after you.
Mm-hmm. Look out. Hope you got a new hip. You're gonna be running.
Because, bitch, you're gonna be running. All right. The last one we have, and this is probably my favorite. There is photo evidence included, which is immediately my favorite type of email. The subject line says, "Celebrity encounter with Abby Lee Miller."
Whoa. Awesome.
You know who Abby Lee Miller is, right?
Is she the Dance Moms person?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know that.
Yes. Okay. Just, there was a blankness in your face that...
That's always there.
My heart kind of... No, I really respect that. I really do. All right. This is the story of the time I got to sit next to Abby Lee Miller on an airplane. Not clickbait.
Nice.
I'm like, wow, so that's what my audience feels like, seeing a video where I say not clickbait. Lesson learned. I was 12 years old and my family was living in Pittsburgh at the time. It was Christmas Day 2013 and my family was flying to California to visit family for the holidays. We were sitting in the last row of first class, me and my younger sister on one side of the plane and my mom and dad on the other. Everyone had been seated on the plane for a while, and we were getting ready to take off when none other than Abby Lee herself walked onto the plane. I, as an avid Dance Moms watcher and competitive dancer myself, was freaking out, obviously. I watched her chat with the flight attendants for a moment before one of them came up to my sister and I and said, "Would one of you girls be willing to switch seats with this woman here for $100? Her seat is in the back of the plane." My sister's hand shot up. Abby Lee handed her a $100 bill, and I had the joy of sitting next to her on a 5-hour flight from Pittsburgh to LAX. Your sister's a fucking moron and a bad businesswoman. I don't care if she's 10. $100?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a...
to go to the back of the plane?
That's a bad deal.
No, that's a horrible deal. And also, do you know the nerve you have to be a public figure to fucking whip out a $100 bill to say, do you want to switch seats with me? By the way, you're next to the bathroom in the back of the plane.
And I just destroyed that thing.
Yeah. And I just spent the last 20 minutes in there.
That's actually why I'm moving. It smells so fucking bad from my asshole.
On top of this, the picture is truly insane.
That's awesome.
It's like nothing crazy, but it's just, I mean, a spray tanned Abby Lee Miller next to like a legit like 10-year-old, a 12-year-old.
A child.
It's so, the 12-year-old is so happy to be there. And Abby's like, I just scored a first class seat for $100.
Like, yeah, that's a great deal.
I need to start thinking about doing that. Just buying like economy seats, clocking a kid in first class and be like, you want $100? And then their parent is like, no.
Yeah, because the kid doesn't know how expensive first class seats are.
No, which also, the fuck, you're traveling first class at 12 years old?
Yeah, flex.
Your life has been downhill ever since.
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing. If you are flying in first class already as a, like a 10-year-old, you have no problem getting $100 from like your parents.
I didn't even think about that.
You know, like you're already like, you're well off.
Yeah, I would have started a bidding war. I'd be like, Mom, do I hear 200?
Yeah, seriously.
Both you and your sister suck at business. I don't care how young you are.
L business.
Those were my favorite stories. You guys really just add such an element of this podcast that I will never understand, but I appreciate it.
I don't.
Well, okay, that's fine.
Sorry, I just, you can't have two people on the same, you know, I was trying to be contrarian for the bit, but we can move on.
Okay, let's move on. Now, I thought it'd be fun for this episode to hear hot takes from one another. So I asked Curtis to come up with some subjects that I'm going to give my hot take on. And then I have some subject matters for Curtis to give his hot takes on. Do you want to go first or me?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Like I read you mine first?
I don't know. What did you mean by I go first?
That by I read you mine first.
Okay. Read you mine first. Come on.
Read you mine first. Okay. Okay. Hot take. First up, what's your hot take on Letterboxd?
On what?
Letterboxd, the app.
Oh, my hot take on Letterboxd is that I'm hearing about it for the first time today, right now.
Ah, so I guess you can't really have a... you can sort of have like a lukewarm take, I guess, but...
What's Letterboxd?
It's for like fucking like film bros, like film people. Every time you watch a movie, you like review it, you post it. It's like public so people can see what you think about it.
Oh, it's like a Rotten Tomatoes blog.
Yeah, it's sort of like a Rotten Tomatoes blog. Yeah, but it's so it's sort of like, and it's all like public. So it's like if you could only tweet in movie reviews, kind of.
Wow, I would have been canceled a lot less. That seems really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably would have been easier.
Do you write on Letterboxd after you like do one of your videos? Do you like upload your analysis?
I don't. I tried using Letterboxd. And it just seemed annoying because I was like, well, I watched a movie and I'm like feeling good. I don't want to like write a fucking like book report type shit on it. You know, like that seems annoying.
Yeah. See, that's what I don't understand is when people make their life so much more complicated.
Yeah. And it's like, if I want my friends to know what I think about the movie I watch, I only have like fucking three friends. So I can just be like, yo, this movie's good.
Literally, I can start one group chat.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah. Wait, what was I going to say? Huh, well, that's gone. For the longest time, I'm not going to lie, I thought you were saying litter box.
Oh, yeah, let's get a hot take on litter box.
I was like, okay, work. Love that.
I hate them.
My first thing I want your hot take on is gay people. No, I'm just kidding. And that's why I do what I do. Thank you. No, Disney weddings.
Ooh, okay. My hot take, they are... Camp.
Damp?
Camp, C-A-M-P.
Oh. I was like, well, if you're in Florida, no, it is also damp.
They are damp. They are wet, dude.
They are sopping. Oh, my God. They're so camp.
I think if you go all the way with it, it could be like kind of a sick time. But, you know, I feel like if you're just like subtly like winking at like, yeah, this is like a Disney thing. It's like, what the fuck are we doing, guys?
No, I think if you're going to do a Disney wedding, you can only go big.
Yeah, do it at the park. Do it
in front of Cinderella's castle. Have Alvin and the Chipmunks like officiate you.
Yeah, have Mickey be the ring bearer and shit. Pluto, or I don't even know. Is Pluto, is that?
I think that's a person or a place or a thing. Yeah, I think so. Or it's like a planet.
Yeah, Pluto's a dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mickey's dog.
I say with full confidence as if I know a single fucking thing.
I think Pluto is Mickey's dog.
I'm just going to totally yuck everyone's yum. I think that they're so cringy. I don't give a shit. Like,
ooh,
they're just not for me.
That's fair.
The only alluring part about a Disney wedding is the thought of like a churro bar at Epcot. That is about it.
That'd be lit.
Even then, I would just go to like Costco.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You might as well go all the way. But even then, it's like you're still doing it. It's your one chance to have a wedding. You're going to go Disney mode.
I just like, I get it. You really love. No, I don't get it. In fact, I don't get why adults love Disney. I'm not trying to be a. Okay. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get married somewhere that I carried an autograph book for strangers in costumes that got dry cleaned every day to sign. That place has its purpose in my life. No more. I mean, what's next? You're going to get married at a Six Flags? It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, facts.
In fact, I would rather get married at a Six Flag.
Yeah, that's, you can hit all six of them.
Well, there's just no weird cosplayers looking at me. It's like, we're getting married.
Mm-hmm.
You got married. I'm like, oh, wait, you've gotten married.
That's true. Yeah.
You went to what, like Italy?
Yeah. And that was not, and that was fucking way better than Disneyland. I'll say that.
You flew out Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah. Yeah. I paid him a crisp $100 to switch seats with him in first class.
I was going to say you paid $100 for each of them to get there.
Yeah.
To Abby Lee Miller.
Damn. Oh. Yeah. If anybody wants to learn about Disney adults, I have a video about it. You can go to my channel.
No, that is one of the reasons I picked Disney weddings is because I was like, this motherfucker has like a whole vidyar.
I got a big vidyar.
A big vidyar.
Okay. I got one for you. Bratz dolls. Tread lightly.
No, I'm gonna not tread at all, sweetheart. Last time I gave my hot take on Bratz dolls, I'm still getting Google alerts about it. So I think that they're wonderful people who have kind souls. And that's that, Your Honor.
All right.
Moving right along, sort of on the same spectrum, what's your hot take on BBLs? For those unaware, that is a Brazilian butt lift.
Yes. Hot take. I think they're funny. I think they're pretty funny.
I get that.
To like,
what part do you find funny about it?
Well, like just to make your ass like to go into like a doctor's office to like fill a bunch of paperwork, you know, like give them insurance, your health card, your ID and everything. You got to give them a bunch of money.
Does insurance cover this?
Maybe. I don't know.
My tailbone keeps bruising, doc. I need a BBL.
Yeah, I was diagnosed with tiny ass syndrome. It's terminal.
Oh my God, I've never thought about BBLs like that.
Yeah, it's like such a professional thing. You're like getting put under and shit, and just for your ass to be like bigger. It's like really funny.
You're like overnighting the fat from your stomach to your ass. Like, it's wild to me.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, which I think culturally, I think more dudes got to get them.
I mean, listen, your boy from Toronto, Drake, is paving the way.
Is he caked up?
Oh, I feel like homeboy has had a BBL.
Drake got cake?
I need to see. Hold on. Wasn't there like a rumor?
Google Drake's ass.
Drake BBL. The phenomenon of BBL Drake. Oh my God. Wait, this is like a real thing.
Well, there's like his overall vibe. I think sometimes he gives off the vibe of having a BBL. I think that's what people are saying.
Oh, like he definitely orders the pinkity drinkity at Starbucks.
Yeah.
His stomach, though. Listen, this is alleged because I wouldn't know what a liposuction stomach looked like if it came up and hit me in the face, even though I absolutely do because I have watched Botched so many times. His stomach looks liposuctioned.
Ooh.
Which, like, I kind of love the idea of Drake being put under and getting his stomach sucked out. Like, that to me is a whole new concept of running through the six. I love it.
Good for him. Yeah, suck. Get the suck, dude.
I really do think more guys should get BBLs.
I think so too.
I think that's a really good call.
We should, yeah, normalize it, you know?
More straight men, I want to say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I do think the girls are already getting them done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Which is, you know, more all power to you.
This is just strictly an intrusive thought that every time I hear BBLs, I want to fuck someone with a BBL so badly.
Mm.
Because that feels like the ultimate fleshlight. Like, I'm sorry. That is like, okay, yeah, Chris, you've hit your word count for the day, but doll. All right, so you think they're funny. Thank you. Is that not real, though? Like, do you not? No, you're married. Okay, yeah, I'm not going to put you in this situation. Oh my God, Jenna. Oh my God, I miss you.
She says hi, by the way.
Oh my God, I live for Jenna. I want to come and visit you guys in Toronto.
Do it. Do it up.
Your place looks so fucking cute.
Thank you.
Every time I see some sort of pic or video or story or I like, it just fills me with happiness. I don't understand how to explain it, but like, it just feels.
It's all Jenna. She did everything.
Oh no. I know.
Yeah.
Curtis.
It's not a shocker. Yeah.
Thank you so much, straight man. Yeah.
Anything that's in the house that looks like a 12-year-old boy put in there, that's from me. From a literal child, that is from me. That's my contribution.
You're telling me the guy in the Creed t-shirt isn't an interior designer? That's crazy.
Shocker.
Now, before we carry on with the rest of this episode, I would like to thank Quince for sponsoring this episode. Now, I want you to picture a wardrobe upgrade with quality essentials at an unbeatable price. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all the must-haves like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I was really in the mood for some silk pajamas, and I obviously checked out Quince, and oh my gosh, guys, first of all, you literally cannot beat the price. Second of all, do you know how luxurious I feel in these pajamas? Oh my God. I mean, game changing. Now, by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And the absolute best part, in my opinion, about Quince is not only the price, but the fact that Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. I really love Quince for my essentials, even just like a basic sweater or a t-shirt. Oh my gosh, it's nice to just have something of quality at a price that isn't insane. Now, if you want to indulge in affordable luxury, go to quince.com/unhinged for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That is quince.com/unhinged to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/unhinged. Let's get back to the episode. All right, what's yours?
All right, next. Okay, this is my next one I got. This is this has to do with stand-up.
Okay.
So what's your hot take on crowd work, doing crowd work at a show?
Okay, so I naturally like it because it's very much like interviewing bitches on the street. Like, I very much feel at home.
True.
Like, if I could do, there's a comedian whose name is Matteo Lane, I think, and he does these YouTube specials, like called the Advice Special, and he will literally just talk to the audience the whole time. And like,
wow.
Honestly, if I didn't feel like I was just completely jacking his gig, that would be my dream because I love it. But then I feel like something happened online where it was like crowd work became the end all be all of it all.
Yeah.
Like, is this just me or do you also have a similar feeling? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I feel like crowd work became incredibly annoying.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about it. Well, it's all mostly because of fucking, you know, everyone's favorite comedian, Matt Rife. He definitely popularized it a lot on TikTok.
The way I forgot he existed until right now.
He blew up with his crowd work and it was like, he was pretty good at his crowd work.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
His clips were great. You know, it sort of became the norm to post videos of crowd work, and it makes sense because you can post clips of your stand-up to advertise a stand-up without like burning material, which I get
absolutely.
But also, I was talking about this recently and it's like, I feel like with the popularity of crowd work clips, it's like, it's sort of like misinforming people on how to behave in a crowd and thinking that they can be like yelling shit all the time.
I had a show in Philly, and listen, if you came to the show, love you, thank you. Someone clearly was just, I mean, I hope they were overserved. Otherwise, you really need to show up to your next show in a muzzle.
Just yapping?
They just were acting like people paid to see them. I was right. Like, no, thank you. Love the encouragement. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Worked really hard on this. Please shut up. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like literally I'm like up here shitting bricks in shoes that are way too uncomfortable. Why did I wear these? Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's always fun. Kicking people out, it's always super fun.
Have you kicked someone out before?
Dozens, all the time.
Ah! Wait, what do you do? Oh my God, like, tell me about it.
I shouldn't say dozens. It probably happened like 6 times on the tour, but...
Okay, so the truth comes out.
In my lifetime, probably dozens, but on the tour, it's probably like 5 or 6.
Okay.
But yeah, you just, I don't know, you usually give people like three or four strikes, and then if they keep, you know, being crazy, then you just gotta get security to take them out. And then, dude, every time it happens after the show, I either get a DM or my manager tells me like, yeah, they were like crying in the lobby, hysterical and stuff, like apologizing, and it's like I feel bad, but also shut up.
Just shut up.
I asked you politely like 3 times, and it's like you can only like, you know, make so many jokes to one person about disrupting the show. So it's
yeah,
like,
without saying shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, that's always fun.
Well, I've never thought about crowd work having that effect. My friend who I write with sometimes, or I just like bounced ideas off of when I'm like writing a set, I'll be like, I'll literally be like, okay, like, and that's that. And then crowd work, crowd work, crowd work. And so like, that's like our running bit of like, okay, crowd work, crowd work, crowd work.
Right.
Yeah. I like it just because I do love bouncing off people like that. But wow. Yeah. Maybe that has become the reason why everyone is so annoying.
I think it definitely, and you know, like some comedians, like they welcome it, right? Like, I guess it all depends on what you are looking for, but
yeah,
I think, you know, I think it's important to let, you know, people know in a way to be like, yeah, you can chime in or please don't.
Yeah. Like, thank you so much. You've hit the word count, doll.
Yeah.
What do you think about TikTok Shop? What's your hot take on it?
I don't have it because we're in Canada and it's not here yet. So that's my hot take.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we don't have it.
Oh, bitch, my house is going up for sale tomorrow. Like, adios. Hasta luego.
My friend Jarvis was telling me about it and he showed it to me and it seems like dystopian. I kind of hate it a lot.
I refuse to buy a single thing from it. Like, I don't ever shop on Amazon unless it's like absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there is something on the TikTok shop that I'm like, okay, fuck, that sounds good, I literally go to Amazon to buy it.
Wow.
I refuse. TikTok has just turned into a fucking living room QVC and it's insufferable.
Yeah.
If I get one more TikTok about the Alex Earl light.
The fuck is that?
It's some, do you know who Alex Earl is?
No.
Ah! Oh my God, I'm moving to Canada and I'm living your life. No wonder you seem so at peace all the time.
Who's Alex?
She is just an American influencer who I got famous for doing Get Ready With Me's question mark.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, anyways, I definitely didn't stay up till 2 last night writing a whole stand-up set or part of it.
About Alex Earl?
No, just working and not doing a Get Ready With Me.
Okay, so there's like a light?
So she like used a light in her content, so people started calling it the Alex Earl light. And people are like, every fucking ad is, are you filming your content like this? And it's like just someone like completely backlit and then they turn on a light. I'm like,
weird.
TikTok shop is, I'm honestly kind of excited about it though, because I do think it's going to be the downfall of TikTok.
Can you sell like merch on there?
Okay, bitch, come on, settle down.
I'm just asking a question.
You're like, so if I have tour merch.
I'm trying to link and build, bro. Come on, man. Something's got to pay for this closet remodel, dude.
Bro, why are closets so expensive? I spent half of my life in one, and now you're telling me I got to pay like 50 grand for a new one?
Yeah, true. You should have like a, you know, get closet free.
Yes, a fast pass.
Yeah, fast pass.
What the fuck? Oh my God, that and fences.
Yeah.
All this to keep myself penned into my own property?
Yeah, it's kind of messed up.
No, homeownership is low-key a scam. I don't know how it is in Toronto or in Canada, but like, oh my God. I just like totally forget about the fact that you are like just straight up living your life in Canada.
It's pretty crazy.
Like, I know that, but like, I don't. Wow.
I'm fucking crazy for it. I'm nuts.
I'm jealous.
No, it's, I don't know. It's great. It's pretty chill. We've, I mean, it's close to family. We're not in America, which is nice.
No, that is like reason number 1, 2, and 4.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time we go to the States, we're like, God, this place is really scary.
It is. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not wrong.
It's a little spooky.
Oh my God. You guys don't have TikTok shop. That alone is reason to move to Canada.
We also don't have the TikTok creator fund, so we can't make any friggin' any cash from TikTok. But
oh, don't worry. I mean, we have the creator fund, and I think you make like 20 cents per million view. It's like the biggest horseshit ever. I was like, oh my God, I remember my first TikTok that like popped off when I was in the creator fund, and I was like, holy fuck. Second property, here I come.
Yeah, let's go.
I was like, yeah, I don't think I could buy the Barbie dream house with this.
This ain't even up for a fence, dude.
Like, I couldn't even buy the literal recycled consumer plastic Barbie dream house.
Okay, this is kind of similar to the one we just talked about, but amusement parks?
I like amusement parks. I hate people who willingly go to amusement parks only to say that they don't like roller coasters. Just don't come. There's a reason I don't go to church with any friends. Well, I mean, I don't have any friends that go to church, but if I did.
I mean, like, you know, I'll push back on that a little bit.
Okay.
I think you can still have a great time at an amusement park without going on any coasters. Because they still got rides that are pretty chill that you can go on.
No, I agree with that. What I'm saying are the people who go and make such a big fucking deal about how they won't go on any of the rides. Like, that's fine, but we are at an amusement park.
Mm.
It's like going out to dinner with someone and they're like, actually, I'm not that hungry. Oh, that looks so good, but I'm just not hungry. Why are we here? I could have eaten alone. I prefer to eat alone.
Okay, I see where you're coming from.
But I love amusement parks. I love roller coasters. Although, you get a little stoned and watched like 3 too many roller coaster mishap videos. And
yeah, Final Destination 3.
Yeah, Six Flags is just six red flags. It's frightening.
Yeah, you're dead.
Are you an amusement park person? Like, do you like roller coasters?
I like them. It's interesting because I went to my first, like, I haven't been in a long time, and I went in 2022. I went to Universal when I was on tour, and I haven't been to an amusement park. I've been on a roller coaster in like fucking like years at that point. like probably like fucking 8 or 9 years. So like when I was like, all right, here we go. I'm still a young boy. I'm ready for this roller coaster. Dude, I got off the roller coaster. My head fucking hurt. My head and my neck were killing me for like the rest of the day. And I was like in pain for like a week after, just from going on roller coasters, dude. Just from being an old fucking man now.
No, but like that's real and something that I don't think enough people are talking about.
It fucks you up.
The way a roller coaster just, you immediately become a rag doll on it.
Yeah, your brain is in your ass.
There's something about it that feels like all of my bones are like made of metal and I'm just going clunk, clunk. Like it's scary.
Yeah, so that's that was a rude awakening for sure.
No, that sounds like a rude awakening. Mm-hmm. We did touch on this a little, but America.
You want my hot take on America?
It is the safest place on earth and the best country in the fucking world.
Yeah, I gotta tread lightly, I guess.
No, you don't. Worst that happens is someone will just shoot you.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. No, I mean, you know, America's got some good stuff. I will say, you guys got like shitty food locked in.
No, like to the point where you even get like free cancer with it.
It's like, but like, actually, yeah, it's like, it's shitty because it's, and also good because like it tastes really good. And then like, much like a roller coaster, you're like on your ass for like a week after.
And like possibly throwing up.
Yeah.
We have shitty food in that you can eat it and also kill weeds with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. It's like a 2-for-1.
Yeah, but you guys got Target. I fuck with Target. I like that. We don't have Target up here.
Wait, really?
We did. We used to. We had it for like a year. It replaced Zellers and then it failed. It flopped hard. So
you guys got a Target and lost a Target?
We missed the target for sure on that.
I don't know why that's so funny.
They really tried to make it a thing here, but it didn't work out.
It like literally went out of business.
Yeah, people just didn't go. Like we had a store called Zellers. It was a department store. It was fucking awesome. Zellers in like the 90s was fucking sick. It had like a diner in it. It was fucking awesome. And then that went out of business. So, and then Target was like, okay, there's all these empty department stores. We're going to move in, take over Zellers. And fucking nobody liked it. Like it didn't really catch on here.
I like want to ask why, but I really think that that makes me look like some dumb American fuck who is like, the world revolves around us. Do people in Canada really just not like, do y'all not shop? Or,
well, yeah, we shop. That's a, you know, it's a pretty common misconception, but we do shop.
No, I'm just like, how does Target fail?
Yeah, I don't know either. I would actually love to, maybe I'll do another video about that.
I was literally about to say, well, now you have a video, so you are welcome.
Yeah, there's got to be some theories. Okay, Target's entry, it was in 2013.
Because I remember when I went to like Toronto one year with my mom, and it was like the first time I had gone as like, with more of just like a cognizant understanding of like being a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember thinking everything felt so, oh my God, I really just sound like some dumb American. I thought everything felt so like Americanized or like so similar to America.
Right. Yeah.
There was like that spot in Toronto that's like the Times Square.
Yeah. Yeah. Young and Dundas.
Yeah.
Young and Dundas Square. Yeah.
Are you fucking with me?
No, it's called Young and that's the intersection, Young and Dundas.
Oh, okay. I like literally was like, I think you're cutting out. I was like, what are you? I was like, does Canada speak a different language? I'm like literally racking my brain. I'm like, Young and Dunga?
Well, it's Dundas. I think some people call it Dundas Square, but I feel like a lot of people just say Young and Dundas.
Wow. I'm just, yeah, that just really, I think that experience has me just like so shook.
That part specifically is kind of stupid because like they saw Times Square and they're like, we could do that, but like not at all. It's like, it's really sad compared to it. But
I mean, was there an M&M store there?
I don't think so.
Already better. Already better.
You don't fuck with the M&M store?
It's fine, but like you can go to a Target and get M&Ms, in fact.
Not here.
Well, not in Canada. That's so true. Wow, I can't believe that Target flopped in Canada.
Pretty embarrassing, but you know. So it's nice to go there in the when I'm in the States. Also, I love Buc-ee's.
Okay, I'll ask, what the fuck is Buc-ee's?
You don't know what Buc-ee's is? Dude, some American you are.
No, I'm literally like, holy shit.
Buc-ee's is a southern thing. It's like gas station. It's like a truck stop, truck station.
Oh, okay. That explains. I don't go to the South. Mm. Just strictly based off of fear for my life.
Yeah, I only would... was like, we were driving through a lot of those states on tour, and we would stop at Buc-ee's, and dude, they have these fucking little like... I don't even know what they are. Little like chips. They're like nut. I don't even know what they are. They're so fucking good, dude. And they have these like brisket sandwiches in a gas station.
Ooh. Okay. That I really... Okay. You might have won me over. What are the chips called?
Oh, I think they're called nuggets. Beaver nuggets.
Beaver nuggets? What in the fucking Mad Lib is that? What?
They're so good. Okay. They're like sweet corn puff snacks. They're like...
Oh, it's like kettle corn cheese puffs, essentially.
Pretty much. Yeah. People can sound off in the comments if you fuck with Buc-ee's, but it's really good.
Oh my God. Wait, I'm actually about to order some of these online.
Can you order them online?
I mean, it's America. You can order anything online. Yeah. Buc-ee's Beaver Nuggets, $6.95 USD.
Are they on TikTok shop?
You wouldn't know.
I'll never know. It's a mystery.
Oh my God. I'm really, you are teaching me a lot here. And like, mm-hmm. This is the sort of education I love because it's just information that will get me nowhere ever in life.
Yeah, you never know.
Or will be applicable to anything.
Yeah. You never know. You should go to a Buc-ee's though. They're fucking huge.
Wait, I want to see where my,
they sell like home decor as well.
Well, where else would I get my own decor?
It's kind of like,
wait, where?
It's kind of like, what's the gas station in
like Wawa?
Wawa. Like people go crazy for that shit.
Oh yeah. So I live in a Wawa area and people, I think it's good, but like,
yeah,
they're microwaving Stouffer's mac and cheese. I can also do that.
Sometimes the low-key tastes better though when it has someone else do it, you know?
Yeah, like sometimes their sweat gets in it and just adds some salt.
Yeah, some like fucking boogers or something.
I really get it. Wow, the closest Buc-ee's to me is, I don't know how to read Google Maps. 2000? No. Who? Huh?
Do you have a scar on your forehead?
Yeah, I have a chicken pox scar on my forehead.
Me too. I have a chicken pox scar on my forehead right there.
Wait, I've always thought I was... like deranged. How did you even fucking see that, you freak?
The light is catching it really well.
Yeah, I have one right here.
Yeah, I got one right above my
is
left eye.
Is that above
eye.
Your right eye?
It's above my left one.
Maybe we were twins.
Whoa.
Separated at birth by our foreheads. We were connected. Although I guess that's probably a thing in the world. I shouldn't laugh. Okay, well, there goes my career part five.
Okay, is it my turn? Yeah, because you asked me, America.
Yeah.
Okay, hot take on edibles.
I may or may not be on some right now.
Oh, damn.
No, I'm kidding. I forgot this is going on YouTube. I am not, do not condone. I think it happens to be opposite day, but I don't condone. I don't think they're the greatest thing in the world. And
damn.
I don't think that they... are just so much better than most things on this planet.
Damn.
I don't think any of those things.
That is a hot take.
The way I think I actually can make algorithms malfunction.
Oh.
I genuinely talk so backwards because of all of this bullshit. I'm like, oh, that activity of getting one with nature that I can't. And I'm like, what am I even saying at this point? Yeah, I love them. I think they're great.
Nice.
I don't... Do you partake?
Well, drugs are bad and you're going to hell if you do them, so I can't really...
No, I definitely know. My plane's waiting.
No, I think they're fun. I think sometimes they, I have like a, I'm like a lightweight with that ship. So I got to take like a, like the perfect amount. If I, if you can nail the amount, I'm having like the best time of my life. But like, if it falters at all, I'm like, my heart's beating and I'm like, I want to die. So
no, you get like paranoid.
Not so much paranoid. Actually, yeah, I do. I feel like, because, yeah, I like feel my heart beating really fast. And then I'm like, okay, so tonight's the night I die. This is it. And then I have to lay down and like try to focus on other shit. And that's like, it's happened like maybe twice. And that was enough to be like, I can like, anytime I'm going to take an edible, I do like half of it. And that's like a chill amount.
I'm so fucking envious of people who are like, I just smell one and it works.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my best friends, literally, there will be like a 10 milligram square. She will take one of the grains of sugar off and just nibble on it.
And just start floating.
And she will be like, I am so fucked up.
Damn.
And I'm like, I just ate the entire container and I feel nothing.
Do you think that's because you like, you have them so much?
Okay, well, this is a HIPAA violation, so thank you, doctor. Yeah, probably. But also, I think I'm just like a bigger bitch than a lot of my friends.
Okay.
Listen, a brick house requires a lot of materials.
Right.
What that analogy was, I could not fucking tell you, but...
I think I know what you mean.
That's what I think of edibles. Oh, fuck. What do you think of hunting as a hobby?
Like trophy hunting and stuff? Or just hunting in general?
Like, what's the other kind of hunting?
I don't know if there's a difference. Because trophy hunting is when you kill like a rhino or something, and you're like, I fucking got him. And it's like a trophy, like a big, like a rare species.
Oh, I guess I totally forgot that people literally even think about hunting rhinos. Yeah, I was sort of just thinking of like a deer head on a wall when you said trophy hunting. Yeah, so I guess any of the above.
Okay, so, I mean, I think it's weird as fuck. I know there's like reasons why people do it for like population control, and I've, you know, I don't know the specifics of that, but like objectively, it, to me, it's insane to like go out into the woods with a rifle and be like, man, I can't wait to fucking shoot a deer's block off. Dude, have you seen the fucking, no. Yo, have you heard of buck fever?
What is it with you and things with bucks in it?
What's the other thing I said? Buckies.
Buckies, yeah. Buckies, fucking beaver corn, Buckies, like, I mean.
Okay, so buck fever. I learned about this on TikTok. It's the nervousness felt by novice hunters when they first sight game. It's like this feeling that you only get when you like see a buck or kill a buck, I guess. And it's just like this like weird state of being that you like sort of achieve. It's like nirvana, I guess.
Yeah, I would like to show these people to the last hot take topic of edibles.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till you take some of those. You wouldn't know nirvana until that happens.
That's a real buck fever.
People get like a high off of starting the Bambi movie.
Yeah, they get the fucking shakes.
Oh, I'm about to bust! Like, what?
Oh yeah, they're edging the whole time, you know. It's pretty crazy.
Wow. I
teaching you so much.
No, people are like, I love learning new things. I don't. I don't want to learn things. I don't want to know stuff.
Buckies, buck fever, Canada head target. You're learning a lot. Sorry.
No, I'm just really just trying to grapple with the fact that literally people bust.
Yeah.
Over shooting a deer.
Yeah, they shoot and then they shoot.
Oh my God. It took me like a second and a half to really like process that one.
It's pretty gross.
Oh, Curtis, you're fucking disgusting.
Okay, my next one is online gambling.
Ooh, online gambling, I'm scared of. Ooh, I'm scared of it because I love gambling. Yeah, my entire persona that I share online is me, and it all just sounds like I am one sentence away from being intervened.
Yeah.
I love gambling. I don't care. I try and be responsible about it, of like, go to the casino with like a set amount of cash.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then like, I also think it's really a great way of seeing where you are. If you're not just continuously pulling out money, mm-hmm. you're like really seeing like, oh, I came here with $700. Now I have $800. Mm-hmm. I tend to do really well at gambling, which isn't a skill set. It's just luck.
Right.
So I'm afraid to online gamble because that feels like a gateway drug to just literal bankruptcy.
You never have to worry about the judgment of other people. You never have to like physically walk to an ATM to like take it out and see what's left in your account and shit.
I'm just, the idea that my debit card is hooked up to a gambling website.
Crazy.
That's like going to a casino and just leaving your debit card in the ATM.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I think Canada, like, I think we just got online gambling in Canada.
I was going to ask if you guys had casinos, if I'm going to be totally honest.
We have casinos.
Okay. And they're still in business?
Yeah, they're crushing.
Oh my God. Wait, can I come visit and we like do a whole like, I'll bring Buc-ee's. I'll literally drive to Buc-ee's to bring you shit.
Okay, sick. Yeah.
If you take me to a casino.
Yeah, you bring the Buc-ee's. And then we'll go to a casino. There's a lot of casinos in Canada. Niagara, especially.
So true. I don't even know why I forgot about that.
Niagara Falls, yeah.
Yeah, I love online gambling. I just don't do it because...
I respect that.
No, it would really just only end poorly. Like, I would absolutely have to sell my house.
Yeah. Or bet the house.
Or... Holy shit, that is... I'm feeling a little too called out right now. This isn't good.
Bet the house.
All right. What is your hot take on extreme couponing?
Oh, I love that shit.
Same.
I love seeing videos of people who have like 30 fucking things of like coconut milk. They don't even need, but they're like, they like found a hack. And then they're like, when the person is like, okay, that'll be like 5 cents. They're like, that's not. It's supposed to be free. You're supposed to owe me $30. I fucked up here.
That's the kind of extreme. Like, I love the checkout mm-hmm. scene.
Yeah.
Like, every show that is extreme couponing, the checkout scene, they walk in with like a staples worth of binders.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right. And then the poor cashier makes the stupid fucking mistake of asking, do you have any coupons? And they're like, do we have coupons? Boom.
Do we have coupons?
I'm like, oh my God. And then, yeah, they end up getting money from the store.
Yeah.
I could barely do like multiplication tests in like that. Did you ever have to do those like timed tests in math?
We don't have math in Canada. We don't have to take that. It's like a elective.
Is this real? I really think every one of these you're fucking with me.
I'm not, but like, you don't have to take, like, it's optional for like all of the grades.
You're telling me I'm carrying trauma with me since second grade of being the last person in my grade to finish timed multiplication tests?
Well, yeah, that's the thing they say. It's like when, like a lot of the times, like jobs, you don't need to know all the math, right? So like they just don't really.
No, I know. I said that as a second grader.
Right. Yeah, that's what. So that's why in Canada, you just don't have to like have math. You get like a lot of kids like take it. You usually like bully them for it, but. Yeah.
Pack it up. I'm moving. Like, fuck this. Oh my God. Yeah, I could barely do multiplication questions, let alone figure out how to get the store to pay me.
Yeah, that's great. I always hear, like, I never understood those memes too growing up of like the, why were you learning the like Pythagorean thing, whatever the hell that is? It's like, because we never had to.
Yeah, you're like, we aren't.
Yeah, we never had to.
Cool. That's fucking sick. Yeah, see, like, I would much more respect a math class that taught us extreme couponing. Like, that's a fucking math problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a theorem, bitch.
Yeah, I need to learn that. Extreme couponing 101.
Like, that sounds like fun, honestly.
Also, I'm lying about the math thing. We took math every year.
I I fucking hate you. I'm still going to move to Canada, but fuck you. I'm going to move to Canada just to shoot you, and then I'm going to get the shakes.
Yeah, I know. I was going to like let it go and see how if it would make it to the upload, but I felt too mean. But
you stupid fuck. I knew it. Granted, I said the same thing like the last four examples you gave me. So.
True. Yeah, who I was building up to that. Okay, I got one more thing for a hot take. And it's cereal.
It's there. I like Lucky Charms marshmallows are sort of like the only thing. Do you know what that is?
Lucky Charms marshmallows, is that a movie? I don't know.
I can't tell if you're fucking trolling me and I am done asking you questions. Yeah, cereal's like fine. I can't eat most of it because I have a gluten intolerance.
Oh, true.
And if I'm just going to have that amount of sugar, Papa's just going to eat like a slice of cake.
Yeah, true.
I like cereals for children. Grow up and eat dessert.
Damn. All right. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I know there's people who really fuck with cereal and they're like, that's their comfort snack. And then what? You also have to have a big bowl of fucking cow lactation? No, thank you. My stomach is already in shambles.
I mean, you could swap it out with like an oat milk or an almond milk if you want.
Yeah, if you want, which I don't.
I guess that's the main thing, I guess. You have to want to.
Yeah, I'm like, no, it tastes worse.
True, yeah.
It just doesn't make me squirt.
And that's what we're all about.
Listen, I'm all for squirting, just not out of that hole.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last up, I have Renaissance fairs.
Ooh. I've actually never been to one. I've always wanted to go. I feel like they'd be a lot of fun. Ever since I saw the Family Guy episode, I think it was like season one or two, where Peter goes to a Renaissance fair, I was like, that'd be a lot of fun.
There's something about your only experience with Renaissance fairs being in a cartoon.
Yeah, I don't even fuck with it because of the medieval aspect. I just love Family Guy.
I want to meet Peter Griffin.
Yeah, maybe he'll be there. But no, I think it'd be fun to go there and dress up like a knight, you know, put some chainmail on, have like a big turkey leg, big tankard of mead, you know, because I fuck with Skyrim and shit. I fuck with Dungeons and Dragons. So that whole aesthetic is really appealing to me, but I've never been. And I think maybe this year's the year.
Oh my God, you should.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to one?
Yeah. I was hoping you weren't going to ask me after you just talked about how much you like love it and all of it.
So you don't like it? You don't like them? Renaissance unfair.
Like, I don't think it's for me. Like, if I'm going to do, like, Renaissance anything, it's another Beyonce concert. Sorry. Like, that is the kind of alphabet person I am.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I really thought I was going to love it because I was like, what a fun time. Like, I was a theater kid.
Right.
It was a lot. It was, like, a lot. I really thought I was going to love the turkey leg. I've never put such dry meat in my mouth.
Mm.
Like,
damn.
It was all around. And then I did get like really stoned and got to the point where I was just so tired.
In medieval times, that's how they kill you.
No, I wish it was that kind. No, no, no. It was with the subject matter you brought up a couple times ago.
Bucky's Nuggets.
Yeah, Bucky's Nuggets got me fucked up.
Got me faded, bro.
Yeah, it got to a point where like I hit that wall of being really tired. And I was like, okay, if I see one more person dressed up as a fairy, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, that's the thing. I didn't realize it was so slutty.
Oh.
Which, this isn't me shaming it, but like, it's like Halloween to the point where like the women are like, I'm a sexy bar maiden or whatever. And I'm like, okay. And then it was like, oh, wow. So everybody's just really horny and trying to get a turkey leg.
Oh, that's frustrating.
I wouldn't take my like review of a Renaissance fair as any kind of grounds for.
Yeah. The type of Renaissance fair I want is like the authentic one. People like, you know, in preparation, like I'm just not going to shower for like 6 months before going, you know?
Yeah.
Just have like, get like scurvy or some shit.
No, deodorant was definitely not invented in medieval times. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I would honestly do an Axe body spray right now. I would be fine with that.
Yeah, they had Axes, but they didn't have Axe.
Not the important kind.
Yeah. I heard they used to just like shit out the window too. At like the top floor. They used to just like put their butt out of the window and fucking shoot shit out of their butts. Isn't that hilarious?
I would think it's hilarious, but I think you're fucking with me again.
Dude, that's how I remember reading that.
Sorry, you fucked yourself over in this department, dog. Like,
all right. Don't take my word for it then.
I'm not. Like, I'm literally not.
All right.
I make that mistake once.
All right. Well, don't. I'll prove you wrong. I'm going to go to a Renaissance fair and I'm going to
send you the video. Yeah.
You see a shitting butt out of the top floor of a window.
A fat ass with shit dumping out of it.
Yeah. And I'll get a BBL before it too. A medieval BBL.
A medieval BBL. That is so stupid. I'm obsessed.
So you just stuffed it full of weed or something. I don't know.
This is the perfect place to end this episode. Thank you so much, Curtis, for coming on. I love you. Where can the people find you? What's your podcast? Tell the girls.
All right, girls, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Search my name, Curtis Connor. And also, I have a podcast called Very Really Good. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Nice. Go.
And you can also buy my special on my Patreon. Keep busy.
I was literally set. I was like, come on, girl.
Sorry. Patreon.com/very really good. You can purchase it right from my Patreon. You don't have to be a patron, but you can still buy it from a Patreon. Okay. That's it.
Love that. Anyways, thank you guys. As always, be sure to subscribe to Unhinged with Chris Clemens, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and review this episode. Oh my God, I forgot that there was a really sweet rating that I got that I wanted to read. It was left by someone named Baptist from the Mount Crab.
Damn.
Don't know who, what, when, where, or why, but the message was so sweet. It said, I absolutely adore this new year of Chris Clemens. He cures my FOMO, my adult loneliness, and keeps me grounded with every episode. It's as if he's all-knowing and can see what's going on in my life. He reminds me of an old friend and gives me so much nostalgia.
Damn, that's what people talk about Jesus.
I know. I was like, I realized that when I read these, I'm like, so I'm just ending this with a little off. Got it.
Yeah, we started it with that.
I'm fine. That's what I would classify as a happy ending. So,
bingo.
Sayonara.
Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.